This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to 5-on-3. This is WFUV's best, if only, hockey podcast. This is really just a meeting of the minds, joined by Lydia Perner, Grace McCarron. We're going from Zoom today, so there will be no video edits, no fancy stuff. We're just getting right down to the nitty-gritty, as Scott Rogowski used to say on the HQ Trivia app, which I'm sure we're all familiar with. Or did I just date myself?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I just dated myself. Okay, great. We're not here to talk about HQ Trivia. We're here to talk about hockey. A lot of things have been happening. Obviously, the trade deadline is tomorrow, so we will be seeing a lot of action, and we have seen a lot of action. We'll get a little bit into that, but this is a New York show. We'll be talking about the tri-state area teams. Before we get into that, Lydia Perner, I'm going to give you this chance. Gloat about your victory, because the New York Rangers defeated the New York Islanders just a couple days ago at Madison Square Garden. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was talking to Grace last night during the fire drill at 1 a.m. and I was, you know, telling her that despite us recording this on Thursday and both of our teams having played since, I feel like this episode we should just go back to Tuesday morning. You know, how are you feeling on Tuesday morning? For me, I was feeling fantastic. Why? Do you want to know why, Nick? Well, I'm going to tell you why. So, you know, the night before, we're all breathing the same air. Beautiful Madison Square Garden air. Felt great. And we got to see Ronaldo play hockey. If you don't know who I'm referring to, Will Cooley scored a goal off his head. Grace McCarron had to sit next to me and suffer through it. It was awesome. Rangers won 4-0. Igor shutout. Nobody cares that Ilya scored over the weekend because, in the words of Igor Shesterkin, it didn't count or whatever he said. So, yeah. Rangers just schooled the Islanders, schooled them this whole season, 3-0. Don't forget about the Stadium Series last season. But sorry, not to you know, add insult to the wound. But yeah, there's my quick rubbing it in a bit. Grace, why don't you go?
No, I will. I just want to throw in, I was the one who got that quote, and of course, didn't get credit for it. That's fine. But also, doesn't Ronaldo, in like when he scores headers, isn't he doing that intentionally? Just want to throw that
nice.
Out there.
Goal scorers, goal. Sorry, go ahead, Grace.
I would say that I did not have the best evening on Monday. I had a lot of fun with Lydia Perner, but the outcome of the hockey game and the general performance of the Islanders, like, I didn't go into it thinking that they were going to win. We know that the Rangers have had their number over the past few years, but just the overall performance from them was pretty bad. They didn't really have anything all game. The passing was not great. I think, Nick, you were saying that after the game. They had the Anders Lee goal, which would have been great, but it was offside, so it got overturned, and then that was kind of it for the whole game. So, not great. They coming off a pretty awesome victory over the Predators. I know it's the Predators who are pretty hopeless, but that was pretty good on Saturday, and then following it up Monday with kind of a nothing burger from them. It's pretty bleak.
Hey,
yeah.
But you got to give them credit. They beat the Winnipeg Jets in their last game, which
That's
is
true.
no small feat. Let's ignore the fact that the Jets have lost their 3 games against non-playoff contenders in their last 3. That doesn't count for anything. But we're going to talk about this Rangers-Islanders game first. As you mentioned, Grace, passing, especially cross-ice passes as they were entering the zone, really none of them connected, unfortunately. Brock Nelson was either on the receiving end of the passing end of some of those. Neither of them really worked out. Shesterkin obviously puts up a shutout, played very well. Will Cooley, as you mentioned, shot off the noggin, bounces over Sorokin's head. Congratulations, Lydia Perner.
I also
thought
an
JT
assist.
Miller
Don't forget it.
And an assist. JT Miller looked really good. I thought Mika Zibanejad looked serviceable, which at this point, after the last year and a half he's had, you'll take serviceable. Those are my takeaways. Do you guys have anything extra from that game? Just a poor performance from the New York Islanders?
Well, can I defend Mika's advantage in for a second? And usually, Nick, usually I'm on your side, okay?
Sure.
But ever, and maybe this is more a reflection on JT Miller than it is Mika's advantage in, but since I think the Miller trade, and I'm trying to find, I think I took a photo of it last night. Yeah. He has 15 points since February 1st, which is tied for the fourth most in the NHL in that span. And yeah, great. He's supposed to be a great player. He hasn't played up to expectations, but you see that number, and if for Rangers fans who know Mika, like he's been, you're just saying more, like he was serviceable. He's been back to the himself that we saw in 2020, scoring 5 goals against, like, okay, that's maybe a stretch. He's been really good lately,
I'm
and
glad you recognize that.
I think that that's a I think part of it is JT Miller, but I just want to give Zibanejad credit where credit is due because he's had a tough go past couple years.
Well, credit where credit's due in the Islanders game. However, overtime against the Capitals, Mika Zibanejad, buddy, pass doesn't connect to JT Miller, and then that gives Tom Wilson the OT winner. So I want to hear your defense of that one.
Well, first of all, we'll get back to the Islanders game, but last night was just it was a great hockey game between the two teams, and all I
You were
can say
there.
is I was there. I would love to see a playoff series between these two teams. In the playoffs, you don't settle overtime. You don't settle tie games in 3-on-3 overtime. That's a Zibanejad play. That's a play in 3-on-3 where it does go the other way and the puck ends up in the back of your net. Whatever. If there's five players on the ice, it's a different story. But yes, it wasn't. There was chances on both sides. Igor had a great glove save on Ovechkin. But the Rangers, yeah, they didn't get it done overtime, and that might have been Mika's fault. But other than that, I'm happy with the way he played. And you know what? You can't look at an overtime loss and get like picked up pick up at the nitty-gritties of that, in my opinion.
Well, you can when they make a bad play.
Yes, but like it's 3-on-3 hockey, and it's like there's no room for error. Grace, I can see Grace smiling, but no, there's you guys of all people should know there's no room for error in overtime. Those overtime loss merchants, there's no room for error. In 5-on-5, there is room for error.
I'd like to just hop in here and point out that the Islanders haven't had an overtime loss in many weeks. They've been at 7 on the season for a long time, so that seems to not be a problem anymore. But I do agree that the Rangers have a lot to be proud of from last night. It was a good hockey game, not one of those overtime losses where you have to be devastated and it, sits on your shoulders for a while. It was a really good hockey game with both teams. They kind of, I mean, that last the last play was not great, but the rest of the game was pretty good.
Lydia, I'll be honest. Look, New York had more than 50% of expected goal share that night, so you can't argue that, I think they played a good game. The one area that I think they lacked on was the power play, 0-for-4 that night. Really nothing doing. Parson and Fight, I thought that was interesting. That's a good way to get your new teammates to like you, huh? And I believe Sam Carrick had a tilt as well.
He almost had the Gordie Howe hat trick last night. He had
Well,
he was the yeah
what'd
he
you
was the
make of the
assist
fights?
away. Well, I liked I was talking to Grace about this. I liked what both Trocheck and Carrick had to say after the games yesterday, or the game, I guess. Carrick, like he's such a selfless player, and the fact that Chris Drury doesn't get enough credit for the pickup of Sam Carrick, he Rangers are up 2-1 at this point, and I believe, don't actually quote me on that. I can't remember if it was 1-1 or 2-1, but basically Carrick said he just felt like that the game was kind of becoming a stalemate, and he needed to get his team fired up. So he felt like that was the time and place. I'm not sure. I think he said that there was some past history. I forget who he fought, but with that player, and he kind of just, talking about the fight that he got, and he just said, yeah, it was just the time to hop in there and get his team fired up. But then he talks about the Parsonen fight a bit later, where, often he goes at a guy, I think it was Jensen, and then Jensen cross-checks him on the numbers, and it's kind of like, I don't know the appropriate analogy, but you do something, you find out, and often ultimately he goes on the boards, they get the cross-checking penalty. But Carrick talked about how there's a lot of new faces on this Rangers team right now. It's the time of the year when so many players are coming in and trying to, mesh with their teammates, get to know their teammates, and for a guy like Mikko Parsonen to just jump in and protect Brendan Hoffman, it's a quick way to gain the respect of your teammates, and it's also a bonding moment for the team. They're kind of talking about how like a chippy game like last night, The Capitals and Rangers, they hate each other, those two teams, and it did have a playoff style feel to it, with the chippiness, maybe less about the play, but rather the chippiness of the game. So Kara kind of said, like, yeah, these games are the games you really learn from and learn how to gel as a team. And even Trocheck, like talking about about Sam Kerrick, he had nothing but good things to say, because I think that fight that Kerrick did meant so much, and the fact that he scored the game tying goal or game leading goal at the
Right.
time was important.
Well, Grace, there was a mic'd up moment. I think it was mic'd up, or maybe it was mouthed, but someone lip read it. Tom Wilson and Matt Rempe. Tom Wilson says to Matt Rempe, "Don't hit Ovi. You can't hit him like that." What's your thoughts? Who obviously, it can be painful to ever say that Tom Wilson's in the right. But was Tom Wilson in the right in this situation? Rempe said, "I can hit whoever I want." What do you think?
Well, I'm not really a known defender of Matt Rempe, but I will say that kind of is weak from Tom Wilson. Like, I know, like, Ovechkin is, like, this force and all of that. He's on the chase, blah, blah, blah. But, like, you can't, that's so weak to me. Like, I know he's 40, basically, but you just can't, like, go and be like, oh, you can't hit that guy. Like, he's a hockey player. Like, I think he can handle it. Ovechkin's been around. And yeah, I do hate to agree with Matt Rempe that he can hit whoever he wants, but he can kind of can, like, as long as it's legal, obviously, and there was nothing illegal last night. So yeah, I agree with Matt Rempe.
Can I quickly tap in on this one too? I think, like, the argument, if Tom Wilson's argument is you can't hit Ovi because he's what, 10 goals away from the record, that's still soft. But for him to say that, if he's saying it in a sense like that's our best player, he, ragdolled Panarin down to the ice a couple years ago with no helmet on. That's the Rangers' best player. So if his whole thing is like that's our best player, you can't touch him. Well, he did that exact thing. Did he not do that exact thing to the Rangers' best player? And I don't disagree with. I think it's hockey. You should be able to play everyone hard. And I get there's like some people argue it's like a respect thing, but I don't hate, like, I don't hate Tom Wilson going after Panarin. I don't like what he did given the circumstances, like, ripping Panarin by the hair with no helmet on. That's a totally different situation. But, like, to play aggressively against a star player, I don't see the harm in that. And I think it's kind of hypocritical of him to say that.
So I want to start with I agree with you guys.
Wait,
That
actually?
said, I'm gonna play a little devil's
Never
advocate here,
happened.
which I don't believe in. I don't believe in what I'm saying, but I think it's a valid point. Would Tom Wilson have said that to anyone else but Matt Rempe? No one injures players like Matt Rempe. There are other plenty aggressive players in the league. No one gets suspensions like Matt Rempe. So I don't know. Do you think? I don't think Tom Wilson would have said that to anyone else in the league, if I'm honest.
I agree
I
with that.
yeah, I think so too. Grace, go ahead.
No,
I'll let
yeah,
you
I
go.
that was it. Like, I just the way that, like, Matt Rempe is perceived around the league, I think players remember that. And yeah, like, I'm trying to think of even a comparable, but, like, it's just how he is. And he's such a big guy, and going up against, like, not to call Ovechkin old, but, like, an older guy who has a kind of commands respect around the league these days. It's a tough situation, but I do agree with Rempe that it's a hockey game and he can hit whoever he wants.
Well, hey, one last point on this game against the Caps before we move to the Islanders. Little nice storyline, some Lindgren revenge, hey, because the Rangers traded away Ryan Lindgren over the weekend. Charlie Lindgren comes in, made 15 saves, helps Washington win. After the game, he says it feels good to get a win for my brother and obviously for the team. My brother laid it on the line every single night for the Rangers. He loved being a Ranger, loved the group over there. I know for a fact they're going to miss him. There's going to be a big black hole back there. What do you think, Lydia Burner? What do you think about the Lindgren revenge story? Because I thought that was a sweet little comment there.
I think it's a. I don't love the idea of, feeling like we betrayed Lindgren, but I get where the quote's coming from. The whole Lindgren, he Lindgren was one of he like he was such a good Ranger, and but he was, you think of a guy like Dan Girardi, who was actually at the game last night. He took so much, he laid so much on the line for his teammates, and it takes a toll on, on your body. And I think, if you just look at the Rangers these past couple games defensively, They've been like real sharp defensively. Like they lost in overtime last night, yes, but you know, Laviolette talked about in the post game last night. He thought like the past couple of games defensively has been incredible, and I think this comes from the fact Lindgren is a good hockey player. I don't want to like pretend like he's not a good hockey player, but he's playing top pairing minutes with Adam Fox, and Adam Fox and Lindgren were a great pair for a long time. But like I said, you know, things have an expiration date. Lindgren, he laid his body on the line too long, line too much. He regressed a bit, but I think you look at like what Bednar said about the type of player Lindgren is and how they're going to use him differently. They're going to play him less minutes. They're going to, you know, not play him against these top guys, and they think he really has a strong role in Colorado on this Colorado team. So I think to me the Lindgren trade is almost like a Kaapo Kakko situation where you're happy for the guy, you're happy that he found a good fit, a good system for him. When I because obviously, you know, the Avalanche weren't too worried about the stats, but I think like I don't think the Rangers necessarily think that, you know, like I don't think it was like revenge. Like I get it if like this is like Barkley Goodrow sibling saying that, but I don't think the Rangers did Ryan Lindgren dirty. But I as a fan, and I can probably speak for the team too, they're gonna miss Ryan Lindgren.
Yeah, I thought I agree with you, Nick. I thought that that was a super sweet thing for Charlie to say, but I also agree with you, Lydia. Like, I think this was kind of one of those situations where like a separation is just best for both sides. Like Ryan Lindgren, he was a great Ranger. He sacrificed his body a lot of the time for the Rangers, and but at the end of the day, like he's probably gonna fit in better in Colorado, and that's like that's okay. Like it's okay to accept when that happens, but. I agree. That was cute from Charlie Lindgren. I don't know if I would say that it's a revenge sort of thing, but sometimes like the divorce is just what's needed, and hopefully he's great in Colorado and that I mean the Rangers are going to miss him. But you know, they're probably going to be fine. So
All right, well let's move over to the Islanders who beat the Winnipeg Jets 3-2. Not only did they beat the Jets, they beat Connor Hellebuck, who I still think after that is still the Hart leader, and I want to see him win the Hart. We'll see whether or not that happens. I think that depends on if Leon Draisaitl is leading in both goals and points by the end of the season.
they hate the
I don't
goalies,
know.
man.
They hate the goalies. Last one was Carey Price in 2014. That said, this was kind of a bittersweet game, at least it may be end up being after the trade deadline. Brock Nelson scores a goal, gets an assist. That goal is his 20th of the season. Kyle Palmieri scores a goal. That was his 20th of the season. Both guys could be gone by the end of tomorrow. We'll see. They're on expiring contracts. Ryan Pulock also gets a goal. As I mentioned, the Jets have lost three straight games against non-playoff contenders. I mean, they're not worried about their position in the playoffs. It's just interesting. I thought the Islanders played well. They battled well. Grace, I'm going to give you a little bit of space here to talk about first about Brock Nelson, Kyle Palmieri, what they meant to the team. But second, that interview with Shannon on the bench afterwards, where Brock Nelson gets choked up. You can hate the Islanders all you want, but man, that was tough to watch, eh?
Yeah, that was really, really brutal. I thought it was pretty storybook how both Nelly and Palms scored in what might be their last home game for the Islanders, and then you had the interview with Shannon after, and then on the post game with Thomas Hickey and Clutterbuck, Shannon like got choked up talking about Brock Nelson because of how like long he's been there. And like her kind of connecting to her journey in broadcasting as well was really like sweet and really, really sad. You know, it's tough because I think both you and I think, Nick, that like the right move for the future of the team is probably to deal Nelson and Palmieri and see what you can get back assets wise, but it's really brutal, especially on the Brock Nelson end. Like Palmieri, he's not a career Islander. Like he's been a very good Islander for the time he's been here, but he's not a career Islander in the way that Brock Nelson has grown up here. He's
He's
had
a
some
Long
great.
Islander, though.
Thank you so much for that. But Nelson, he's grown up as a player here. He's done a lot for this franchise. He's been around for a long time. I want to say like 12 years. And
2010 was when he was drafted.
yes, so even longer. And he's climbing up the record books in Islanders history as well, which is up there with a lot of great players. It's really, really, it's a tough situation because, like, in my heart, I don't want to see him go, but I also, like, you have to look at the team from a team and a business standpoint and be like, probably need to get some assets back and think about the future. And the guy, both of them are in their 30s. So it's tough. And the other night was super emotional. So it's brutal.
Yeah, definitely a lead by example kind of guy, never the loudest guy in the room, often the quietest guy in the room. But I honestly, I think that reflected his play as well. He was never the flashiest guy on the ice, but he was always strong in front of the net, strong back checker. I think he's one of the most solid players overall. It's hard to find a weakness in Brock Nelson's game, and I think any team would be lucky to get him. Let's talk about some teams that might get Brock Nelson. I think that's worth talking about. Number one, obviously the Minnesota Wild. Everyone says this makes too much sense, and you can't disagree. The Wild need another high-end guy down the middle. They could definitely get him to re-sign. Not only is he from Minnesota, the Wild's GM was coaching Four Nations and chose him for Four Nations. So, I mean, the only other place I can think of would be Winnipeg for him. That would also make sense. Because if you remember, they tried to do that with Sean Monahan last year. But the Jets have never been able to keep anyone at the deadline. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? Obviously, besides Minnesota, which I think we can all agree is the number one choice. Do you guys have any other teams that stand out to you?
What about New Jersey?
New Jersey is not bad, as we know. Jack Hughes
Given
is
the
down.
circumstances, yeah.
Right, and
Yes.
you can argue he's definitely an upgrade from Erik Haula, no?
Oh, for sure.
Right.
I think okay, but
Right?
well,
Go
I'm
on, go
sure,
ahead.
sorry, we'll get into this in the Devils area, but like I don't know what the Devils are doing gonna do about this whole like situation and if it's worth pursuing a guy like Brock Nelson. That's all I'll say right now.
Yeah, that is interesting actually with the news yesterday. It's tough to know what direction the Devils are going to head in. I mean Minnesota makes like almost too much sense, which is super devastating. But also like Winnipeg would be good too. I think I said last week on the show like this is kind of Winnipeg's moment because they've been at the top of the league the entire season. And this, like from a business standpoint, like just looking at numbers, like the salary cap going up in a couple of years, kind of might make it difficult for keep up spending. And because they're at the top this year, they've got the best goalie in the league. Like, why not just go for it this year? And they're in, the smallest market, all of that stuff. This is kind of their year. I think Brock Nelson would be great. And I really hope that if he leaves the Islanders, he goes somewhere and wins the Stanley Cup. But yeah, so I think Winnipeg is perfect. I don't, but those three honestly are, I feel like we haven't heard a ton about other teams, but yeah.
Part of me also thinks that
I
Brock
do
Nelson
want to
will be an
say,
Islander.
I it's
I can
totally
see Lou not
possible.
moving him.
Totally possible.
I also see that.
I do before even though we're not we'll get into the Devils in a bit. I want to dispel the idea that the Devils are sellers at the deadline. That is absolutely preposterous to me. They're still going to be going for it.
I don't think they're sellers this year. That is not what I'm saying. Like I think if you listen to like I don't remember if it was Tucker or James, but one of them thinks very rationally. I maybe it's both of them. But Grace, you I don't know or Nick, one of you might know too, but like I think it's the fact that the Devil's window is really early on. Like you got years and years and years that you don't really have to worry about going all in this year. And I don't even think you want to go in all in this year with Jack Hughes hurt. I know there's the argument, what does that say to like what is Fitz then telling Timo Meier and Jesper Bratt and those guys about not going all in? But you can't, I don't think if you're the Devils, you should go in all in on a season where Jack Hughes is not going to be back. And you're pretty certain of it. He'll be ready for training camp. I just it doesn't make sense to me. I just think they stay where they are and see how the rest of the season goes, and they make the playoffs, they make the playoffs. If they don't, they don't. But you do not like you don't give away like Nemitz for rental right now. That's just unless the only your situation if you can get a guy and you can know that he'll sign long term, sure. But I don't think you go for rental if you're the
That's what I'm
Minnesota
saying. That's what I
Devils.
think they
Okay.
should do. They should be going for guys that they think that they can sign long term, but get that summer shopping done early, because you're very much in contention. That's my argument there. Since we still have some Islanders stuff to do, let's talk about Kyle Palmieri. I think that he has some more interesting suitors than Brock Nelson does, just by virtue of being a winger. I was gonna say Tampa would be a good fit, but they just got Bjorkstrand and Yanni Gourde from the Kraken for two first rounders, so they're definitely off the table. I mean, I know we're not straying too far away from New York, but this is a really big trade. Do you have any thoughts on the Kraken? Sort of. I mean, obviously they should throw in the towel for this year, but to me, this is an A plus for the Kraken, man. I don't think Bjorkstrand and Gourde were going to do too much for them in the future, and now I think they're lining themselves up really nicely for a good future.
I think it's a good trade for both sides. I really do, and I like this analogy I saw. Like in baseball, good players they strike out every once in a while, and that was the argument for that I think you can use for the Tampa Bay Lightning last year with Tanner Janot. But I think if you look at Julian Breezeball's history with trades, he's a guy. I actually have the book right here. There's a great chapter in this book on Breezeball's strategies. He is very much okay with, parting with tons of picks to get a guy that money-wise is completely undervalued in his contract and fits the mold of his team. That's what he did with Barkley Goodjoe. That's what he did with Brandon Hagel. And there's familiar there with Gourde. So I think just adding these guys, I think like Tampa is also one of the best coach teams. They've obviously fallen off a bit in the past couple of years with aging cores and money issues and losing, McDonough, Stamkos, Sergachev, but they got Gensel back and filling in the lineup. I think they're gonna be a threat
They're a
come
machine.
playoffs.
Tampa's a machine. Like, I feel like
They never go
I
away.
agreed with you, Lydia. Like, I feel like 3 years ago we were like, the window's closing, it's closing. Now they're 9-1 in their last 10. They're 3 points out of first in the Atlantic, and you're just thinking, oh my God, this team does
Vasilevsky's
not.
also playing insane again. So,
Vasilevskiy's back. I think anyone who started to say Vasilevskiy is gonna fall off just looks ridiculous now. He's a robot. He's a robot. That whole team is filled with robots. And they, just like AI, they are coming for us, and we'll take over the league.
that was an excellent analogy.
Okay, so now that we know that the Lightning are not going to pick up Kyle Palmieri, let's look at some other suitors. I think the Devils are a great fit. I know we keep talking about the Devils. You need goal scorers, man. You need goal scorers. Kyle Palmieri, very low downside, very high upside. He's never going to put in a bad performance for you on the ice. I think Grace can agree with that. You'll never be incredibly disappointed with what he does either. He will always put together a 60-second effort whenever he's on the ice. You'll never see him float. Outside of that, how about my LA Kings? I
I was
think
going to
that
just
would be
say
a
that.
good fit for Kyle Palmieri as well. They need a goal scoring winger. They're very good down the middle. Just could really use a couple more goals. That's what's keeping them from getting up toward first, second in the division. And the goaltending is there. The defense is great. Brandt Clark is so underrated. They just need a couple goals. Do you guys have any other teams?
I was going to say the Kings. I think that
Yeah.
you kind of hit on that. And then also, I mean, both teams that you're talking about, the Devils, they go out and acquire a defenseman. Their defense has been one of the best in the league this season, but their scoring has dropped off considerably. So I think Palmieri to the Devils would also make a ton of sense. He has a ton of familiarity, obviously, with that franchise. I think kind of like Grace was saying with Nelson going to Minnesota or Winnipeg, like it making too much sense. I feel like Palmieri, the Devils also could make too much sense in for the fit of the player. But obviously with the the market of the wingers right now, it could be a high price that the Devils might not be willing to pay, or it could not be. I mean, just seeing what like the Rangers got in a return for Riley Smith, like he was a decent winger out there given the names out there, and they only got I say only, I mean they got a high third round pick, and they got a former first rounder who hasn't panned out. But I think that the de if the Devils are willing to give up a good return, I think it would be, a fair trade on both sides for, the Islanders and the Devils.
Just a quick note, Rangers are also retaining 50% of his $3.75 million contract.
Yeah, because half of it's also retained by the Penguins. So yeah, and they have one retention spot remaining and $17 million to spend. So not to worry about that.
Shall we talk Devils then? I feel like
Yeah,
you gave us a nice
I
transition.
think they're the most interesting team right now
For sure.
of all
You
three.
just mentioned Brian Dumoulin from the Anaheim Ducks. They got him on Thursday for a second round pick and the rights to an unsigned 19-year-old prospect, Herman Traff, might as well be Lydia Parner that they got.
All right.
The Ducks are
That was crazy.
retaining half of his salary. Do
I got a
you
good
don't
wrist
play
shot.
hockey, Lydia?
Yeah, not anymore because I'm, 20 years old, but club soccer takes up all my time.
Okay, my
I
point.
still got
All
I
right.
still got a wicked wrist shot. Don't you worry. I have hockey
We'll
tiles
see.
in my basement. Like, don't even worry.
Let's go to some stick and puck. We'll see if you can score
Yeah,
on
we'll
me.
put that to the test.
Dumoulin has played 768 regular season and playoff games, won the cup in Pittsburgh, obviously, and has 16 points this year. He's getting under 20 minutes on average in 61 games with Anaheim, so he's playing a lot. Pat Verbeek said he was good for us on and off the ice. We'll wish him well, and was not an easy decision for them. It's giving. I understand why the Ducks did it. You need to develop your young guys, and he's taking a spot away from them defensively. For the Devils, don't know how much he's going to be doing for them, if I'm honest. They should be looking in the forward category. As far as the Devils recently are concerned, let's take a look here. They're losing a lot. They lost to the Avalanche. They beat Utah, congrats, and then you lose to Vegas 2-0 and the Stars 4-3. And what was a brutal game. Thomas Harley scores with 5 seconds left in the game. James Burley and Tucker Austin had a crash out in the group chat. As
Big
deserved,
Tom
they play the
Harley fan,
Winnipeg
though.
Jets. They play the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Rock. Hey man, take advantage of a Winnipeg Jets team that's not right now. You need wins. Where they are in the standings right now. Let's take a little look-see. 72 points. That's good for third in the Metro. 4 points ahead of the Blue Jackets. 5 points ahead of the Rangers, but they've played one more game than the Rangers, two more games than Columbus. They're in jeopardy here. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Yes, I think they're making the playoffs. But that WC1, WC2 spot is looking like the most likely. Before we get into what we think they should do with the deadline, just where this is a good question. Where do you guys have the Devils finishing this year?
Right where the Rangers are right now. They're
I
flipping.
agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. So then so you have both Ottawa and Detroit missing the playoffs? Yes.
Yeah, I have I think but before like just starting with the Devils, they
Sure.
haven't like even before Jack Hughes got hurt, they haven't been playing good hockey. So this can't
Yeah.
happen. Like this can't help, and they've been on a fall off for a while now, and it like for a good amount of the time it was like, okay, it's not that concerning, like they're fine. But like the Blue Jackets, like I can't, I don't ever want the words to come out of my mouth where I say I don't want this team to make the playoffs, because with like everything that's happened this season, I'm rooting for them. It's just the unfortunate part about this is my team is right behind them by a point, and they play on Sunday, so I think, but I don't believe in the Red Wings as much as a lot of other people do. But the Red Wings, that they're obviously in the mix. I don't think, like, I think the Rangers are gonna sneak in. I do, and I think I really don't know if the Devils are gonna be able to hold on. I'm gonna be honest, but I'm also a hater of the Devils, so take that with a grain of salt, I would just say.
Yeah, I feel like the Rangers and the Devils are kind of on like opposite trajectories here. Devils, obviously, like you said, Lydia, were on a kind of a skid. It felt like a long skid before Jack Hughes went down. And then the Rangers had their skid. And Lydia, you can correct me if this is too optimistic, but I feel like they are kind of, they're back to almost normal, mostly normal. They're fine now. The Devils are like actively, I don't want to say in free fall, but like the way that they've been performing, and then you have Jack Hughes get injured is like hope is quickly running out for the Devils. So I
They're
would
playing
agree. I
survival. They're
think,
playing survival right now.
yes, they are holding on for dear life right now. And our thoughts and prayers are with James and Tucker because, I mean, yikes recently. But yeah, I would agree that I think the Devils and Rangers are going to flip just because they are kind of on opposite paths right now, where the Rangers are on the upswing, maybe not totally on the upswing. Like they're still losing a few games that like you would have liked to beat Washington last night, et cetera. But they're definitely on a better path right now than the Devils.
Well, I think this gives us a good last segment opportunity. We can't have this episode before the deadline without talking about Mikko Rantanen, who multiple teams have called about Mikko Rantanen, and he did not sign an 8-year, 100-plus million franchise record offer that Carolina left him on the table. They've received multiple, quote, compelling offers for Rantanen. They got 24 hours to do it. Here are the teams interested. Just keep this in mind. Vegas, Florida, New Jersey, Dallas, Toronto, and Detroit. Give me a team, or is he staying? I'll start with you, Lydia Perner.
I think he's staying, but I think there was something weird on that contract that made him not want to sign it immediately. I wouldn't underestimate Tom Dundon and his crazy tactics to find a way to scam, Rantanen out of a few dollars in the long term or with bonus or whatever it is. But ultimately, I don't think he's staying. But I think if you're Colorado, it's got to be frustrating if you would see, Rantanen flip for a bigger return than they got. But I do think Natchez and Drurian have been good. But I think he's staying. I just don't think that. I think it's all noise. That's just my opinion, though.
I also think he's staying. I think that maybe the negotiations going on before Four Nations is kind of like you have to think about stuff from his side. Like, there's a little bit of whiplash from being traded away from Colorado, where he thought he'd spend his whole career theoretically. Maybe needed some more time with Carolina. And I agree, Lydia, there might have been some weird stuff in the contract, but overall, I think that they will probably work it out in the end.
Mikko Rantanen's a Florida Panther.
I don't hate that. I honestly don't hate that.
And they're gonna win back-to-back cups. There you
Okay, I
go.
hate that.
I
I
just
hate
said it.
that.
Florida's gonna ship out the farm, ship it all out, get Mikko Rantanen, sign him long term, and you've got yourself a heck of a team for the next couple years. Proved you can do it. Rantanen wants to go to a winning team. Mikko Rantanen's a Florida Panther. We've got less than a minute here on the Zoom, so I'm going to wrap it up here. I'd like to thank Grace McCarron and Lydia Perna for a riveting discussion. I'm Nick Palmer, and we will see you guys after the trade deadline, where we can talk about all the shiz that went down. So, for us three, this has been 5 on 3, WFUV's best if only hockey podcast. For WFUV Sports, stay safe.